right. With that, we go back to calls. Russell in Austin, Texas, is the first caller of the second hour. Hello, Russell. Welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. Can you hear me there?
Yeah. Are you talking into a Bluetooth or your cell phone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got my earpiece on. Is that better?
That is better, in fact. Russell, glad you waited. So why are you pro-choice?
I'm pro-choice for the idea that the biological argument, to me, is a no-starter because, yes, a fetus is just another human being at earlier stages of life, just as much as a teenager is to an adult. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's a non-issue.
Fair enough.
The issue is, it seems to be in our society, is that we value people's bodily autonomy over right of an individual's right to life, which is why we don't harvest.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, an example of that would be where we don't make it legal to harvest other people's organs, siblings, parents, to save another sibling's life without consent.
Okay, so what you're saying is even if the unborn is a human being, they don't have a right to their mother's body, just as you don't have a right to mine or Patrick's kidney to live. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or I also don't even have a right to even to my own mother's kidney,
right,
or her blood or anything else that would sustain my life without her giving consent. That seems to be the norm in our society. Is that where, that's where they seem to be drawing the line, is personal autonomy supersedes an individual's right to life.
Okay. Well, I think that it's not that personal autonomy supersedes the right to life, because, for example, let's say I was on a boat and I'm here in San Diego in the harbor, and I pulled away and I hear some rustling, and it turns out there's a vagrant who's been asleep in the hull of my boat, and I'm pretty far offshore, and he's sort of annoying and smelly and this or that, and it's my boat, it's my property. I wouldn't have the right to push him overboard and continue on my fishing expedition, would I?
That's correct, but I think that's kind of a straw man analogy for what I described. That wasn't anything at all what I was describing.
Well, what if I said, well, there in that
fair-minded listener out there,
hold on a sec.
Well, Russell, hold on. Okay, because in that case, I'm saying my personal autonomy, which refers to my being able to act as I please within my vicinity, what I own. So if I own my body, I own my boat, I can say, you don't get to be here. And so I push him overboard. But there we would say, well, no, personal autonomy actually doesn't go against the right to life. Now, would it in that case?
That's correct, because there are gray areas, and there seems to be, in this case, not a gray area when it comes to personal rights of your own organs and bodily fluids and such that to save another person's life. Pushing somebody off of a boat, we've drawn a line saying that that's absurd.
Why is that absurd?
Apparently, it is absurd in our culture here in America.
Well, then if that's the argument you go down, then all it would take is for a majority of people to think it's absurd that a man and woman could engage in an activity that creates a helpless, needy child who needs their mother's body to live, and then say that child has no right to use the body, that it has no right to assistance from the person who helped to create them. So an example I give in my book, you might be familiar with Judith Jarvis Thompson's violinist argument. I don't know if you've heard of that when
no,
it comes
I
to
haven't.
Work.
Go
oh,
ahead.
That's interesting. Well, I'll use a variant. So the situation autonomy versus life. Suppose I did something where you needed my body to live. So we ended up in a hospital together, and I caused it to be the case that you needed to have your blood filtered through my kidneys. And so we're in this case, and I said, you know what? Russell doesn't have a right to use my kidneys. He doesn't have a right to use my body. So I disconnect you and you die. Would I have done something wrong to you?
No.
Hold on a minute. So if I went out, you and I went out for drinks, and then
you don't have to re-explain it. I got the analogy, and I'm saying no.
So you're saying it'd be okay for me to cause you to need my body and then kill you?
Oh, cause me to need your body and then kill you. Okay.
Yeah, you didn't catch that part. It's I did something to cause. I did something to cause you to need my kidneys. So through my free act, and I did this, and now you're hooked up next to me in the hospital. I arranged it so it would be this way, and then I unplugged and killed you. Would you say, should I be allowed to do that?
I would want to know the circumstances that you caused to do this. Was it you were playing a doing something and it's a lottery chance of one in a million that this would have happened, then no, you're not, you're off the hook. But if you're doing something intentionally where you explicitly 100% chance this is going to happen, then you're not off the hook. That's why the circumstances matter.
Sure. Let's say I went to Fred's Fantastic Emporium and Prank House, where people go to have all kinds of fun. And normally when people go through this without taking certain kind of safeguards or protection, they end up being connected to somebody else, and that person needs their body to live. So, I mean, I'm just taking an analogy off the top of my head.
Sure.
But wouldn't you say that pregnancy after sexual intercourse is not a one-in-a-million thing, but is something normal and expected from engaging in intercourse, just as crashing your car after drunk driving or hitting someone would be a normal and expected thing after making the decision to drive impaired? It's a natural consequence one should expect, mm-hmm. and so then one is responsible for the needy lives that are created from that decision.
No, because we have contraceptions that it's like saying if I live in a dangerous environment and I put bars on my windows, I have a guard dog, I have a gun in the house, I'm still not consenting to be shot in that dangerous environment just because I choose to live there. I'm doing everything that I can to prevent to be shot, but I'm still choosing to be in a dangerous environment.
No,
same thing with engaging in sex. It's not a guaranteed thing that this person, just because you consent to sex, that doesn't mean you're consenting to pregnancy.
Well, no, I would say actually that's not the case at all. We can only consent to actions. We cannot consent to the effects of our actions. So we consent to sexuality, but that's like saying, well, you consenting to sex doesn't mean you consent to getting an STD. Well, getting an STD is not a matter of consent. You either get it or you don't. Much the same with pregnancy, that is a natural consequence of what we consent to. Or it's like saying, I consent to eating chocolate cake. I didn't consent to gaining weight. Well, no, that's just what happens. So to dial back the example with the burglar example, in that case, when the burglar breaks into your home, even though you put up bars, other things like that, yes, you never consent to anyone breaking into your home because you live in a dangerous neighborhood. The burglar initiates the burgling activity and wrongs you. But when it comes to making babies, who initiates that activity? So, Russell, I mean, here's the basic question you ask any 7-year-old. What makes babies?
Having sex, of course.
Okay, so I think then if you consent to engage us in this activity, that it's, or even if you take steps to not have the baby come about, you're responsible for the baby that's created. Just as if I drink alcohol and get in my car, it doesn't matter if I roll down the window and play the radio loud and do everything to try to stay focused. I have done something that's ordered towards a certain end. And if sex is ordered towards babies, and lo and behold, a baby comes from it, are you not responsible for the child? Even if you take steps to not have the child come about, you engage in the activity ordered towards making that mm-hmm. child.
Oh, I completely understand that. But in your analogy, it would be where you're just driving down the road, you're not drunk, and you're still engaging in a dangerous activity, just driving down the road, and you get in an accident. You're doing everything that you possibly can, signaling, driving the safe speed limit and everything else, but you still get in an accident. In that case, in that specific scenario, I would say that you're off the hook of being responsible for the continuation of that pregnancy, because once again, in our society, we value human bodily autonomy over the right of someone else's life.
No, and see, here's the problem, though. If someone has bodily autonomy, does the unborn child have any autonomy at all?
And currently in our society, not for that circumstance.
Yeah, we're okay. Talking about objectively and really and truly, and we're running super late
yes.
on our first break.
Unfortunately, we're over. But I would just say that driving a car and getting in an accident analogously is nothing like pregnancy. That when driving a car is not naturally ordered towards running over people. But anyone can answer the question. It should be easy. Sex, and this, our culture just doesn't get it, but I'm sorry, sex is ordered towards making babies. So
yeah.
If you engage in it, you are responsible for the baby that's created. And the uterus, what is it for? My kidneys are for sustaining my own body, but the uterus would be for the child is designed for, so the child has a natural right to reside there.
We're happy to send out the free gifts. Thanks for the call, Russell.